I wondered if we could speak a little bit today about characteristic of the reality that appears
now.
Now.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about the characteristic of lopa, that it clings.
Is there any characteristic appear now?
Yes.
So?
Yes.
Knowing about its characteristic as a reality, not self?
I think that is perhaps helped by understanding what appears to be, like when we say clinging,
as the seeing.
It seems to be like a feeling.
You mean attachment is like feeling?
Yes, yes.
Because of the word feeling that you used to
No, because
understand?
Of the experience that attachment seems to
Okay,
feel.
What feeling is now? What kind of feeling is now?
Like clinging, like holding.
No. Because even clinging does not appear, and feeling does not appear either. So you just think about whether clinging is like feeling. But actually, since feeling is not the object of right understanding, and clinging is not object of right understanding, so now they're thinking whether they are alike.
So, at the moment of thinking about clinging,
mm-hmm. What about the feeling? See, there's feeling.
Yes. And the feeling that arises
with thinking
can only be pleasant or unpleasant or neutral.
You mean what arises, attachment or feeling?
With the, how can I express it? It seems as if, and this is, I'm no doubt that this is wrong understanding, so I'm looking for you to correct it, but it seems as if there is a feeling of not wanting to let go, of holding on to what is seen or Yes, like that.
It seems like what the object that you'd like to hold to and hold on forever, but it's only thinking there should be the precise object one at a time to be known as it clings to that. For example, there is seeing right now, no understanding that there is clinging to it, see, but thinking that it clings.
Okay, so mm-hmm. It's thinking about the object,
is clinging to visible object, but actually the clinging itself does not appear.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. That's really what I needed to clarify.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about clinging, what are we talking about?
A reality which is unknown.
Okay.
Everything is unknown right now.
Yes.
Like a chicken in the shell.
Mm.
Not strong enough to break the shell.
Mm.
But and what is meant by what is in the shell? Ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
So we are like chicken.
Yes.
In the dark.
Yes.
Ignorance in the shell,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. When there is no understanding of anything at all. Is the chicken happy in the shell, inside the shell?
Seems to be.
Yeah, like at moment of not understanding reality as it is. Because you see that even present meaning, feeling is very short, but desire and attachment is that all the time, clinging to that very short and just appear and disappear, covered up. The truth is covered by ignorance. That's why one learns to understand whatever appears, not to have ignorance about it. It's like trying to solve problem or one's own problem or the groups or the nation or country, see? What about that citta at that very moment? Is it solved from being unwholesome to wholesome? It doesn't mean there shouldn't be any solving problem at all, but actually should with kusala citta only. Without akusala citta, is exactly the same like problem of the others or of the world or of the country. So the best thing in one's life is to understand the meaning of lone world and citta, an element which experiences an object, is conditioned to arise. No matter it's kusala or vipaka or kriya, whatever it is, until it's known as not self. Don't think of trying to have no akusala at all. It's impossible. The first thing is to understand so that there is no more ignorance and wrong understanding, that's all. And then panya works its way on and on and on to the end. But first of all, there should be right understanding in place of just replace ignorance and wrong understanding. So it's only thinking about visible object and attachment and so on, or sopajya or anything. But it's now at this moment, the more we understand reality, the more we can understand everything which is taught. Otherwise, it's one's own idea about this and that after reading just one or short term or sentence or only a sutta or a book of whatever. Is hardness kunmev? See, one can say that no, hardness cannot be kunmev. But without hardness, no idea about that at all. Without citta, cittasika, no beings. Only short dream, very short. And Pavankas in between. So where was yesterday? Where was all happened yesterday? See? Continues from the day before yesterday and yesterday and tomorrow and the day after tomorrow, exactly the same. In the shell. Is there any hole of light?
Only if the chicken pecks.
Yeah.
Through the shell, filtering through the shell.
We forget that, for example, when you mention the feeling of clinging or of not letting go, but actually feeling or vedana is just pleasant, unpleasant or neutral. So the clinging doesn't feel and the not letting go doesn't feel. So the feeling at each moment, just pleasant, unpleasant, but it's so clinging is not itself, doesn't have a feeling.
So should we mind about clinging or about that which is not known or understood yet that appears now?
Clinging and that
which appears now.
Like, does it appear?
Well, I think when there is attachment, then it has a characteristic at that moment, and I think it can be known.
Depending on conditions,
yes. Depending on conditions such as accumulations and understanding.
But I think there's the kind of subtle clinging, which is what I understand Ajahn to be talking about, that is always there, including clinging to becoming. And I doubt that that appears regularly anyway, maybe occasionally, but the kind of subtle clinging that we understand to be present all the time, I think, doesn't appear.
I think there's a lot of not so subtle clinging happening much of the time. I mean, even during a Dharma discussion, there can be clinging that isn't so subtle at all. Wanting to know exactly.
And before that, asava.
Before that, what the subtle one is, asavas, is not known, but the more apparent clinging can be known.
John, when you talked about a clinging to becoming, what is the object of clinging at that moment?
Is there no clinging to the sound at all? See, unknown, because it just rises and falls away very rapidly before it can be known. Even it's just a reality which is experienced by hearing, and after that it's attachment, unavoidable.
So one wants the seeing and hearing to continue. Clinging to sense, clinging to experience through the sense doors.
All we talked about yesterday is like Sankhara Khanda, all of them, to understand the anatomy of whatever appears today. Because who knows that what is now is unknown yesterday, whether it's this or that. But by conditions, it appears now at this moment. So what we learned from yesterday can condition a very slight detachment from not knowing or understanding it, little by little. Without yesterday, can there be more understanding, even just a little bit today?
So when we talk about the bhava tanha in the case of the anagami, it refers to the rupa vachara and avrupa vachara, and in that case not the sense objects of the sense door, mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
You just mentioned the that the intellectual understanding that, such as we discussed yesterday, or whether it was intellectual or direct understanding, can condition a bit more understanding today and less clinging. Is it possible that that less clinging can be, there can be awareness, or that it can be recognized?
It depends on questions, see, right? Whether there's less attachment to wanting to know or understand that which does not appear now, or not like that, because there is more understanding about learning to understand whatever appears.
So it just depends.
Right, to know how much one get from listening about realities. Even Aramanapaccaya, see, very, very simple, because whatever appears to the citta which experiences it, without it, as paccaya, the seeing or the hearing cannot arise at all. Even that is not in one's mind enough to become detached from taking it for I see or I hear. So it depends.
And so there's, again, there's clinging to the experience and the understanding that may have been gained. Any.
And as it can be experienced through one doorway of sense door, even we don't use the word sense door, one understand what is meant by sense door. Instead of five sense doors and one mind on things like that. And this is the way to understand reality as no self, little by little.
And so when there's more understanding, there's less labeling and thinking in terms of labels.
So Panya can see the difference between experiencing a reality and thinking about it, beginning to differentiate different moments. And that's the way the Eightfold Path or the Five Path develops. With right understanding as its main factor.
Ajahn, at the breakfast, I and Nina talk about the Abhidhamma and daily life. It also our long discussion with between me and my, one of my close friends. He thinks that if we always see everything as citta and cetasika, we cannot earn money or we cannot develop relationship with society, community, especially in family. So it is not the middle way, it is extreme way.
So what's the middle way?
As I understand, the middle way is the way we understand the reality as it is.
No matter when.
Yes.
Where it's only just idea to do nothing. Can anyone do not see? Can anyone do not hear? Can anyone do not think? Can anyone do not work? See?
I think some people have the idea that awareness of namas and rupas is the extreme way, because some people who claim to have awareness of namas and rupas say just what you said, that they do not recognize other people, or they cannot relate to everyday life as they did before. But perhaps those people who make that kind of statement are not actually having understanding of namas and rupas, but are following a practice of some kind and trying to see namas and rupas and trying not to see people and things because of their misunderstanding of what it means to have understanding of the realities now appearing.
And does it mean that that person really understands Dhamma? Not at all. Because even at moment of thinking, it's not he, not him. At moment of feeling pleasant, it's not he, it's not him. Not at all. Every moment. If he understands Dhamma as Dhamma, he understands what conditions such and such reality to arise and to appear. Attachment is attachment. Aversion is aversion. Conceit is conceit. All are dhammas. How can he stop those realities to arise?
A word Ajahn is often used is naturally. Has to come naturally in our daily life. So I would think someone who's thinking they can't function in society when they're trying to be aware of namas and rupas has misunderstood that it needs to arise naturally by conditions.
I also think that what really matters is finding what is real and what is not real. Regardless of what if we think is good, what we think is bad, or what we think is right, what we think is wrong. I think the real question is it true or is it not true?
It's just like when Mara came to see Buddha and said that since you had enlightened, why did you still teach?
Maybe if this person studies physics or chemistry and they learn about the elements, they don't walk around thinking about this is magnesium or there are atoms and molecules and I'm not sitting on a chair, I'm sitting, you know, it doesn't mean it's not useful, but it's not the way, and we can't choose, conditions determine. So it's just a lot of thinking that it's not the right way, which is we have to find ourselves, which is true, like Alberto said.
That they can't work or can't perform normal family life while understanding realities. It shows no understanding of realities.
And actually when we say that it's not the middle way, the question should be, what do you mean by the middle way? The middle way to what?
Moment of understanding, it's the middle way, regardless of whether one's at work or on vacation or whatever.
Otherwise, it's only the middle way in our own ideas. Yeah. Just.
So is this moment midway?
Pardon?
Okay. Is it or not? Why do you say no?
I say no because there's not a moment of direct understanding.
Right. So one understands what is midway. Now it's not midway, so what is it?
I think it's a moment leading to midway.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes, it like May said, we are still far away from the midway in the Buddha teaching about the reality, but like we are always live in reality, so, and everyone have their own understanding of reality at such moment. How can I say? We should be in the middle way every time we are. But the Buddha teaching, it seems we have to see that like the direction that we have to go through, but we should understand also where we are now. That is the middle way. I mean, not like a Buddha, he has know himself, he understands. You have direct understand that there is no self, and if we act like no self, it cannot, because I cannot act like I have no self. I have myself very strong, but I know that in fact there is no self, but still in my idea is there is a self, very strong self. I cannot act like him, like a Buddha. In fact, I'm right or wrong? So, it's difficult like this. It's a point.
Actually, Sun, the point is that whether or not there's any understanding of no self, there is no self.
Yeah, I have
no
a
self.
Theoretical
so,
understanding so, of no self, but
so actually,
and in fact, no self, my still self, and I have to still live with myself.
Sun, whether or not there's any understanding or not, it's still not I acting, I thinking, I behaving. There are only realities. It is only citta, cetasika.
Yes,
so it's
exactly.
Just citta thinking like this. So even if there's no understanding of no self, it's not I acting, I thinking. No I at all. So in the beginning, this is why Gabby said it's the beginning leading to the middle way, because now there can be the beginning of considering what is right. So what is right at this moment is that there are only conditioned realities. It's not I who think this way or I who act that way. There's just citta at each moment thinking. So it's not, oh well, I can't understand this, because it's not I who understands or doesn't understand.
Totally.
So this is the beginning leading to the middle way. And so regardless of the activity, working, sleeping, coming here, it is just citta, cetasika and rupa only.
I think that he knows that he can talk like that. But since there is the self latent tendency, so it's still I.
I know that theoretically no self. As a Buddha, I have no self, and in fact, there is no self in between that rupa. Okay, but honest. Yeah, to be honest with my understanding.
And can I just interpose one thing? You talked about we cannot act like a Buddha if we are not
me. I cannot,
but
not,
we are not talking about
maybe not be able to do or to try to be.
Yeah, cannot try to be. No. I cannot try to be like a Buddha.
That's quite right. We are not. No one is suggesting
it's,
that we should
in that
try
meaning
to
that I said,
act.
It should be in middle way. Like you cannot be extreme like a Buddha and extreme like me and the world.
So what's your middle way? What's your middle way?
Sit here and here you are teaching. Now it's already the middle way for me. What is the true answer here now? I don't know.
I think also maybe when you mentioned that, okay, I understand theoretically, but I think that even get to the right understanding theoretically is also very difficult. At one moment, there can be understanding, and other moments, no understanding. So that is the reason that we have discussions with the wise friends.
Yeah, okay. The understand for me and from Tom and from Mike is different. From Sarah is different. Sarah understand. This cup is different than me. I don't agree, and I don't have any argument on that. No. I think that you already think in other way. Okay, that's Rupa. When it is come in my eyes, it's Rupa. Otherwise, it's your concept.
What is the beginning of understanding?
Beginning of the understanding. What is the beginning of the understanding?
Now.
That with theory, there is rupa and citta sikali.
Now citta is considering what is heard.
Yeah.
To be understood about realities.
Yes, no doubt about that. So I said about the middle way, for everyone should have the middle way. Is it on this meaning, not like we are still far from middle way? Yes, still far from middle way. Like with Buddha teaching, but
it depends on the moment. If there's any understanding, there is middle way. If there's no understanding, no middle way. So we can't say that person is on the middle way or someone else isn't on the middle way. We need to consider the true meaning of middle way, which is why we need to know what is the beginning of understanding, because that is the beginning of the middle way. But it's according to the reality of the moment.
So I think I follow what you were saying, but I might just to say it back to you that apart from you feeling it's important to be honest about the level of understanding, that would also involve being aware of how much ignorance there is.
How much?
Yeah. That's an important.
Yeah.
That's an important place to be. I think I've lost my train. It was something that Ajahn said to me earlier when I was asking about characteristic. And she said that we can be misled by our own thinking. We read or we listen and then we think by ourselves. And and then probably cling to that, that what we think is understanding. And so it's probably, that's why it's important that we say what that understanding is in order to hear whether that is, has some right understanding or not. So that is part of the honesty, I think, about that, and being prepared to be wrong, for there to be wrong understanding a lot of the time. So is that close to what you were saying?
Yeah. I would use another word than honesty. That the truthfulness, it sounds better. To be truthful with whatever there
yeah,
is such a...
Yeah, truthful with whatever we are thinking about. Yeah. Not really rely on Achan talking, thinking, but it's... how can I say?
Okay. Yes, but you are listening and you are considering and you have confidence in the value of the teachings. So that you are on the right way, you realize yourself that you can't apply it all or for yourself, you still cling to itself, and that is also a Dhamma, a reality which is conditioned, and you know all that and you have confidence to go on listening and considering, and that is right. Then you have more intellectual understanding, and that is the condition later on for direct understanding of Dhamma.
Yes, still everyone blame me that it is still yourself. Yes, it's still myself. I know that.
Yes, you know.
Yeah, I know that it's been self. Yeah. It's been self, yeah. self every
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
But it's like this. Mm-hmm. But okay, there is no self in the way that I have to go, but I cannot come up and do the no self right now.
So it is, because only the Sotapanna has eradicated the idea of self. But before you came into contact with the Dhamma, you didn't know all this. You didn't even know the way you were thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's already a very good step ahead.
And it's not I who can come up or can work it out. It's Panya.
Yeah. Are you happy with yourself?
Happy with?
With yourself?
Yes.
Good for you.
Say that remind each other that seeing only sees visible object now, or it's only hardness that's touched, not a table or a glass. It's not saying there must be direct understanding at this moment, but it's a reminder so that Chitta gets more and more used to the idea of Dhamma as anatta, because if there are no reminders or we don't reflect on Dhammas as anatta now, that it is Panya that understands, not me or I, then it will just be, we will just continue with our same old ideas over and over again. So the reason we talk about Dhammas or realities is to get more and more used to the fact that there are only realities, no matter what we may think. And the reason, for example, we discuss what middle way really is, how it's not anything to do with situations, it is just a moment of understanding reality. Why do we hear this, or why do we mention it? Because otherwise we just continue with our own way of thinking and never ever come closer to understanding the truth. And the meaning of satya, or honesty, is not just being honest with the way we've always thought, but being more and more honest with the truth, with the reality at this moment, that it is lobha, it is attachment or wrong view. It's not my lobha, my wrong view.
Loba, dosa, what is better?
None.
So you have the loba every time, or loba or dosa. So
choose.
And I think also Ajahn often mentioned about there's no rule, so the middle ways it's about the moment of understanding. So depending on accumulations, one person can choose to be like this or like that, or I think like this and like that in a certain situation, but there's no absolute middle way in the way one choose things. It just depends on accumulations of each person. But only the moment of understanding that there is the middle way.
Yeah. Accumulation is different from one to each other, so can I say that it's middle way for Sarah and me have to be the same? Yeah,
Well, I think it's not because of different accumulations. I think middle way is middle way. Middle way is middle way to you, the same like to me. If there is no I, but middle way is middle way. It doesn't have.
We still, how can I say, we still stick to the word, because the middle way is the middle way, okay, right? We have the, no, not we, but it says the pana has to be developed until there is no self, okay, it's for everyone, okay? But how can I say, it seems like the middle way is here, and you are here, I'm here, and you need to wait for me to go there. It's different from who's there.
No, yeah. I don't think that. No, I don't see it this way. Like seeing is seeing for every being the same. If you are in this world or in other worlds.
No, I mean, okay, when you have developed, when the pana, the two pana already developed to understand, is. Can reach a level like over there, and my partner still here, your partner still there. So we two have to develop until there, but the way is different.
What do you mean the way?
How can I explain this?
The way of life, of living, or what?
Could it be that what you're looking to say is in the middle way is understanding, and people
develop
will
understanding, yeah.
A development of understanding,
yeah.
And the understanding of reality.
The median way is to develop
understanding.
Direct understanding, okay.
Right? And the direct understanding of realities,
yeah.
Will be the same for everyone.
So, just thinking about outside of this life, in another life, was it your panya? Or in next life, would it be your panya?
I don't
panya?
Know, no.
I think...
No one.
No.
So
no.
The next panya, next life panya is not me?
That's right. So it's as if when you talk about the stages, it's not the stage for you or any of us here, it's really just how weak or how strong panya is,
yeah.
Right? And it just happens in this lifetime that the circumstance that is CERN is talking about my panya, but in actual fact, just panya.
Yeah.
Just panya. That is as strong or as weak as it is.
So, what is the middle way in reality? What reality is it? one or two.
No, reality is.
Yes,
reality.
The middle way.
Yeah.
What is the middle way?
The middle way is developed.
It doesn't mean here, not like this. Yeah, but what reality is middle way?
It to understand the reality.
Is seeing middle way?
Seeing is seeing.
Hearing?
Hearing.
So what? Is the middle way?
Is to understand the reality as it is.
How many realities are there as middle way?
How many reality you mean?
Are there in the middle way? That which is called middle way.
I don't understand exactly what you want to ask.
When you say to understand reality as it is, what is the reality of understanding reality as it is?
You mean they understand the characteristic of the reality?
Right understanding.
Right understand.
Without right understanding, cannot be middle way at all.
Yeah. That means have to understand the characteristic of the reality as it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what will the middle way lead to? To where?
Need to understand the characteristics.
More and more understanding of realities
until... Until we understand as it is.
Attaining the Four Noble Truths.
Yeah.
All four. So what's the first truth of the Four Noble Truths? Truth.
Dukkha of conditioned realities arising and falling away, therefore that each one is unsatisfactory or dukkha.
That is three.
Three characteristics.
Anicca, dukkha, and
anatta.
Anatta. You mean that should understand there is dukkha should understand first, or no? I think there is no.
Is there any truth to be known right now? What's the truth of this moment? What is true or real now?
Anicca.
Anicca. What is anicca?
Because it's different from.
What's it?
It change.
It.
Every time.
What is it?
Reality.
What is a reality?
The hearing. You change every
time. Hearing arises and falls.
So
it is dukkha. The arising and falling away of anything is dukkha. the ultimate dukkha. Nobody can change. When you have other kind of dukkha, you can take medicine. But when it's that ultimate dukkha, nobody can do anything. It's not under anyone's control. So, is that dukkha now? Can anyone understand that?
Directly, you mean?
Or little by little, yeah.
First Noble Truth is actually Sankhara Dukkha.
Which means?
Well, you said it before. that it's not Dukkha Dukkha because you can take medicine for that.
All conditioned reality.
Realities are Dukkha.
Or even there is no upadana, the arising and falling away of conditioned reality itself is dukkha.
So, well, again, what is the beginning of the middle way?
The middle way is understanding the reality by theory.
A proper theoretical understanding of realities. You mean a proper theoretical understanding of realities? Theoretical understanding of dhammas. Yeah.
Para to chagoso and yoniso manasikaro.
You know that?
He knows that I don't know, so he said.
Means the...
Your own words. Yes.
It means having the opportunity to listen the right teachings of Dhamma and wise attention to that, or kusala attention.
This he can understand. Because it's the meaning of parato kosa.
Parato.
Yeah. But when it's Pali term, we have to translate. Yeah.
So the beginning of the middle way is the same for everyone.
I don't know that.
Well, you said it's hearing the true teaching.
Yeah. I just say about me. I don't know.
No, so we're not talking about you or me. We're talking about the development of understanding, not who is having understanding.
Okay.
We're talking about the conditions for the development of understanding, and those conditions are the same for everyone. Have to hear the teaching, has to be considered, otherwise there cannot be understanding.
No doubt, yeah.
Dhammas, yeah.
Have to know the theory first.
Have to know some theory first.
Yeah.
Yes. Not the whole theory.
Yep, exactly. Have to know what's my word, understand what's my word, the theory first.
Right.
Not only on the way of discussing, you can read things. You can...
Not limited to discussing.
Yeah, not limited to discussing. Not limited to talking. Yeah.
Not limited to talking.
You have to know, understand the theory first, word by word.
But what is more helpful, reading a book on your own or having a discussion with someone who has good understanding?
Yes, it depends on each one's accumulation.
Or
or condition.
Right, yeah.
Right, wrong?
From hearing, what else would be a condition?
It seems to me hearing and reading is the same.
Well, we call it hearing. Okay. Whether it's actually by the ear door or the eye door, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
We
okay.
call it hearing the Dhamma.
Okay.
Yeah. What else apart from hearing the Dhamma?
Apart from hearing? No other way.
No other way, but hearing is not the only condition. Because a person who hears but doesn't really
understand,
consider.
Yeah. Reconsider again and again and to understand. Yeah.
Anything else?
No. Sangurabanasa.
It has to be, we have to realize that what we are hearing and considering concerns the present moment. Because we're not hearing theory about something else. It's all about the present moment. So that has to be appreciated. Otherwise, all the hearing and considering is of no consequence.
I think we're very fortunate to be here because we can read and consider. But even reading and thinking on our own, we can get easily confused. So I think we're all fortunate to be here, to be able to listen to Ajahn, who explains so beautifully and so clearly, and others to have discussions. Because I know for myself, I'm not sure that I understand correctly what I'm reading. So it's good to be in a situation where we can help each other. Have Ajahn explain.
And this is, earlier you were talking about honesty or truth, but this is the honesty or truth of the Buddha's teachings, that actually there has to be the hearing and considering about realities that are conditioned and not self. And it is this understanding that is the middle path. So beginning to understand this is actually what is meant by honesty or truthfulness, not just clinging to one's own idea that I don't know or I have self. That is not the kind of honesty or truthfulness that the Buddha taught.
Actually, here I have a question. There were talk also four conditions for Dhamma. It's like four wheels. So what was that? Dhamma, no Dhamma, Pati Pati? No, but the four, I forgot. What are these four?
That's the fourth one.
The fourth one, but the three first.
What they are?
The
first one. There are two sets of four, actually.
Okay.
Lucas knows.
Associating with the wise, hearing the teaching.
The second?
Second, hearing the teaching and the Patipada, right practice development.
Yes. And third? The fourth?
The third was considering. Meet associating with the wise.
Okay, the first one.
Hearing the teachings.
The second.
Considering what has been heard.
Manasikara.
Yeah. And the fourth one, Patipada.
Dhamma,
Patipada.
Dhamma,
nu, Dhamma, Patipada.
Okay,
right. Okay. The fourth one is development of the path leading to the goal.
So Sen, I think you can agree that we can discard the what to do or what should I do or how should I live, because it's not the real meaning of the Mitten Way. Do you agree with that?
Can you repeat?
Hmm? Yes, I'm asking you whether you can agree that the middle way doesn't lie in what should I do or what shall I choose to go or who with which what person I will be tonight. It's not that kind of things that is the middle way. Can you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay, you agree with that. So now yeah.
But not as quick as like, you know, I said.
So naturally we just can clarify more about the way to develop our understanding better and better. So if, because we can have understanding at this moment, but then another moment there's no right understanding anymore. So that's why it's helpful to discuss with other people who can point out the misunderstanding that we are having. Do you agree with that too? Because we are only, because it's not about doing something, but it's just about understanding realities.
Not really correct for every time because you can make confused. Because for example, the two, if we talking, for example, with Ajahn, okay, it can have, but if I talk with Mike, it will make confused.
Can there be the middle way anytime?
No.
When there are conditions, when there are conditions.
I think maybe because when we are discussing that the ideas of this person or that person that come in, it, which prevents us from seeing the truth from what the people, the other person is saying, but whether that what is being said comes from this or that person, it actually doesn't matter. It's, if it can help for more understanding, then it's something that should be appreciated. Don't you agree?
Sorry.
I think we all cling a lot to the idea that certain situations are good or bad. I mean, a little bit like Tom also mentioned yesterday about going to the show is bad for children, or coming to a quiet place and discussing Dharma is good, or being in a noisy job with a bad boss is bad. So we all cling to certain ideas and certain situations, and we all have preferences, and we all have many, many reasons. But I think what has been stressed a lot in these few days is that no matter our idea or way of thinking, actually, in truth and reality, there is only this cheetah at this moment, one cheetah at a time. And this cheetah can think about anything. That's why in the texts it say there's nothing more variegated than the cheetah. Cheetah can imagine all sorts of things. But the truth is always just the reality now, the moment of seeing, which just sees visible object, and then thinking about it in all sorts of ways. So that's why the middle path always has to come back to the reality now, because that's all there is. So no matter whether we're in the quiet place or at work, there's only seeing which sees visible object, and then thinking according to accumulations.
So, Gurusara, could you explain, because the middle way is the only way leading to the end of dukkha. So how many reality are there? Could you explain that?
Taught that actually there is only one way. So no matter whether who we're talking about or what time or what situation, whether we're referring to monks in the Buddha's time or for us here now, there is only ever one way. And that way is just the development of understanding. So the understanding is one reality. This is the middle way.
accompanied by other mental factors. So the only way is just development of right understanding of what appears now. So this is what is meant by living alone. Actually, whether we're in the forest or in the city, it is the understanding which understands. In truth, there is just living alone with this moment of seeing, this moment of thinking. And whether or not there is much or little understanding, this is the truth. This is what honesty really is, according to the Buddha. So the satchanyana, the firm understanding of the truth, means the understanding that in reality now, seeing is not self. It's not my understanding that I have or don't have. It's not his accumulations and her accumulations. There are just realities which arise and fall away, and are inherently unsatisfactory, not worth clinging to.
And Sarah, I think we can say that the middle way is also momentary. Moment to moment. There can be a moment of understanding, and then there can be many moments of thinking and wrong thinking, and they can arise again and again, even to the point where one thinks, this is my understanding. And then subsequently there may be more moments of right understanding. So it's a momentary thing. It's not something one has. The middle way is also no self. For the moment, right, moment to moment.
And all these ideas we cling to, such as this place is more favorable and one shouldn't do this job, or one should be in Thailand, or one shouldn't be in another country, or this or that, all these ideas really hinder the middle path. They make it more and more difficult. They distract from the understanding of realities. So they make life very complicated. Actually, when the understanding develops, when there's more appreciation of what the middle path is, life is quite simple, very natural, as Anne said before, because there's no idea of I must do this or I must do that, or this isn't the right time or place. Any moment, any time. Yes. One can fulfill all one's responsibilities and do whatever needs to be done naturally and easily.
Yes, it's all true. Only living in a favorable country where we can hear the Dhamma and where one can associate with the right person to hear the Dhamma is also a condition for right understanding. Even if Nama and Rupa are everywhere and understanding can be developed, no matter where we are. But there is, otherwise, why should I come to Thailand?
In the end, the associating with a wise person and hearing the Dharmas means associating with Panya. So we've heard a lot about realities, we've heard a lot about seeing an invisible object, about thinking as anatta. So anytime, any place, wherever one is, there can be that understanding of reality. If we think that we should wait till we're in another place or go somewhere, we forget about the reality that is already conditioned at that moment, putting it off at that moment, any time. Otherwise it's like lacking confidence in what the Buddha really taught about reality at this very moment. And we're thinking of a story about being in Holland or being in Thailand instead of just understanding seeing or visible object which appears right at this moment.
What we were saying earlier about the beginning of the middle path and understanding is also true for the continuation of the middle path and understanding. It's no different for the person who is hearing Dhamma for the first time or for the person who has been hearing Dhamma for decades. The conditions for the arising of understanding and therefore of the middle path are the same. There has to be the hearing again and again, the reflection again and again, understanding what has been heard again and again. Because the accumulation of wrong view and ignorance is so great that unless there is the continual reinforcement of what one has previously heard and understood, then wrong view will take one away from the reality of the present moment. So again, I'm just trying to make the point, it's the same for everyone. It doesn't vary from one individual to another.
So if the middle way is momentary, then can we say the middle way is anicca, anatta and dukkha?
All conditioned realities.
I never thought of it like that.
And these realities, when the Kuttara Dhammas are anicca, dukkha and anatta.
How many Lokuttara Dhammas are there?
Eight, nine. Mm-hmm.
Which one arises and falls away?
Four. Oh, no, not Nibbana, no.
Yeah.
But I think I was reading that there are Sankara Dhammas, so there are anicca and dukkha, but they don't belong to the truth of dukkha. They don't belong to the First Noble Truth.
Can it be known?
I don't know.
See, perhaps. The arising and falling away of Sankara Khanda should be known before directly understand the characteristic of the third one. Without the first one and the second one, can there be the moment of penetrating the nature of the third one? So that's why the Lokuttara Cittas are not included in dukkha, because they're not there to condition right understanding to the degree that it can have less attachment. Because the Four Noble Truths talking about the cause and the effect. What condition what? For example, the second truth conditioned the first truth, and the fourth one conditioned the moment of attaining right understanding of the third one.
So they are the eight Lokuttara Dhammas are anicca, are dukkha, but they're not included in the first noble truth.
So where they are included?
Its nature is like that, but since it does not arise to be object of understanding of dukkha, right? Can you have it now to understand the characteristic which is dukkha, arising and falling away? Mm-hmm. That's why it's not; they're not included.
Yes, because the Lokuttara, eight Lokuttara Cittas, Lokuttara Dhammas, they are not included in the First Noble Truth. So were they included in which truth? In the third one?
So what are the Four Noble Truths?
This is the Noble Truth of Dukkha, of the
Dukkha Samudaya. Yes, because other conditioned reality can be experienced directly, to see the nature of dukkha.
They are not upadana khandas.
Because upadana khanda, the second one cannot condition the Lokuttara Dhamma. That's why by talking about the cause and result, the second Ariya Satya can condition only moments which are not Lokuttara Cittas at all.
But the third one can.
And the third one is the Nibbana. It can be only object. The fourth one will lead to directly experience the third one.
So this is actually the fourth. The Lokuttara Cittas must be fourth of the Noble Truths. The fourth.
Lokuttara Citta?
Lokuttara Citta.
The eight Chetasikas. And that's why there are two words, the Ariya Makkha and only the Makkha Satya.
Can you explain the difference? What's the difference between the
when it's not the Ariya yet, it's only Makkha. But at moment of Sotapanna, there must be the eight factors too.
Those Lokuttara Jittas aren't included in the Four Noble Truths because they cannot be clung to. Is that
and
correct?
And the second one, attachment cannot condition the Lokuttara Jittas at all.
And what's the ninth one? The Nibbana.
Included, but for example, in Paticca Samuppada, dependent origination, where Lokuttara Cittas, same thing.
The point was in the Four Noble Truths, there are Lokuttara Cittas, and while the Buddha told that all five khandhas are dukkha, so I thought if he talks about all khandhas, because they are still khandhas, the Lokuttara Cittas, Lokuttara Dhammas are still khandhas, so I was thinking where they are classified in Four Noble Truths.
In short, Panchupadana Khanda Dukkha, so khandhas that can be clung to, khandhas that may be.
Yeah, but still they've got some kind of conditioned nature, even the Lokuttaras.
They have conditioned nature, but cannot be the object of clinging.
So this is the difference between
Khanda
and Upadana
Khanda. You can repeat, please.
So this highlights the difference between the Khandas and Upadana Khanda.
Can you elaborate a bit more, maybe? Not
much. Upadana khanda means the khandas that can be clung to, and these do not include the nine Lokuttara Dhammas, that is the eight factors, the Jetasikas are the eight path factors, and Nibbana. Whereas khandas do include the eight path factors. Mm-hmm. Eight path factors are included in khandas, but not in upadana khanda.
And just to clarify that,
khandas are only upadana khandas at the moment of clinging to it. So all conditioned dhammas are khandas, but only at the moment that they are the object of clinging, are they upadana khandas.
Because sometimes it's in Tipitaka, like this is Rupa Kanda, this is Vedana Kanda, this is Sanya Kanda, this is Sankara Kanda, this is Vijnana Kanda, all explained. They don't say this is Rupa Upadana Kanda, Vedana Upadana Kanda, but For example, Libhibhanga, the first analysis of khandhas, it's Rupa Khanda, Vedana Khanda, Sanya Sankara.
Yeah, all conditioned dharmas are khandhas. But if there's no clinging, then...
Oh, but that's not easy, yeah.
Even the, another meaning of upadana khanda is not just that which is conditioned by with its object of clinging, but even that which is conditioned by tanha or attachment is the upadana khanda. For example, whatever is conditioned by attachment or lobha must be upadana khanda in that sense. But when it, that which becomes the object of clinging, it is another meaning of upadana khanda. So there are two meanings of upadana khanda. But both meaning, as the, it cannot be object of clinging, even it's conditioned, and it's not conditioned by clinging either, because Lokuttara cannot be conditioned by clinging, and it cannot be object of clinging.
Could we say that Pasada Rupa is
upadana khanda in the sense that it's conditioned by clinging, and at that moment when it's object of clinging, it's another meaning of upadana khanda.
Any khandas conditioned by clinging refer to any realities conditioned by karma. So, Pasada Rupa is conditioned by karma. Seeing, hearing, any dharmas conditioned by karma, upadana khanda in that sense. It, because it's conditioned by karma.
So I believe it had been said that Panya Chittasika is not object of clinging, right?
Why not? Everyone would like to have it so much.
Okay. Because you mentioned the factors of Eightfold Path are not included in the Upadana Khanda.
The eight Lokuttara path factors, yeah. The eight path factors of Lokuttara Citta.
We were distinguishing earlier, I think it was the Zita asked about the distinction between the eightfold, between the path and the Aryan path. So now, if the moment of right understanding of reality occurs, there are five path factors arising at that moment, five or six. And these can all be the object of clinging, but at the moment of enlightenment, when the Lokuttara path factors arise, it's the Aryan path, and it is these Lokuttara cittas and dharmas that can't be the object of clinging.
Explained in Aramanapacaya that the Lokuttara cittas cannot be object condition for Lobha Mula cittas. Exception.
So for the ordinary people, any moment of the path has only five or six path factors, but for the Aryans, like Sotapanna, each moment of Maka, how many? Eight, always eight. Yes, so but at the other moments when there is understanding on so five or six. Okay, but that's just, I'm not so clear about that, because it said that the three Virati Chittas have the function to eradicate the three, the Micha the wrong livelihood and so on.
Only when they arrive with the Lokutra Chittas, only at the moment of enlightenment.
Okay, so
is there any eradication?
So at the ordinary moments for the Sotapanna, for example, there's still the Virati Chitta, or for example, at the moment of refraining from harsh speech.
Those kinds of speech that hasn't been eradicated, and for the arahat, because nothing to be abstained from, so no virati citta seekers can arise.
Okay.
There can't be the right speech, right action, right livelihood. These are called the three virati citta seekers. So these don't arise for the arahat at all.
Okay, but for others, they still arise?
At the level of those factors to be abstained from that haven't been eradicated.
Okay.
For example, for the Sotapanna, there's no refraining from taking alcohol, there's no refraining from killing, because there's no inclination to kill or to drink anymore.
But for the hard speech or not necessary speech. Okay.
The three verities don't arise for an arahat, but at arahat magachit, do they arise? It's eight.
At that point, there'll be eight factors, so all akusa completely eradicated finally. So they would arise at the moment of arahatship, but no more refraining after that. Last hint of a remnant in the anusya only. I mean, of course, the anagami about to attain arahatship is not going to be involved in frivolous speech, but just a hint of an anusya of something.
I just would like to add something. It's also a question, because we had some discussion in Poland about if the arahants can entertain. And some people think like they can laugh, for example. Is it true? But they say, oh, this is the texts are old and orthodox, and they can smile, but cannot laugh, arahant.
Not to that degree.
Not to that degree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the people still say, oh, so many arahants in the world and a lot of funny arahants. So the text must be wrong, then say like this.
And what's wrong? What is wrong?
What is wrong? They say that in the text they are wrong.
Not the text.
They are wrong. I thought that.
Did Buddha laugh?
No, never.
He is an arahata.
Hasitu pada citta of the arahata. Hasitu pada. The citta, the smiling citta of an arahat, or Buddha.
And it can be Mahakriya citta with somanasa too.
It'd have to be ahetuka.
Ahetupada is kirya chitta.
Kirya chitta.
Ahetuka
kirya chitta.
What's the object of that citta?
It can be a skeleton, even.
A skeleton.
Yeah, and then the Buddha smiled. Yeah.
Basically, worldly things. Worldly things.
The smile is a reflection of understanding.
But at that moment, it's kriya citta. At that moment, it's kriya citta, which is ahetuka.
Or with somanasa, which is not ahetuka, with or without panya, depending on conditions.
A different moment afterwards.
I just read this morning in the book on conditionality by Nina, and it is said that for the arahant, the kusala and akusala can be object conditioned for the kriya citta to review this dhamma. So I guess that when they become the object conditions, the kriya just knows about what has been, but just no more akusala or kusala. So I was just thinking about in our case, when we review the kusala or akusala citta, it can be the conditions for the arising of either kusala or akusala at that moment of reviewing.
For us. But not for the arahant.
Okay.
He can reflect about the akusala which has been in the past, and which is eradicated, which has been eradicated by panya.
So, when we review our past kusala or akusala, it can be the object of sati and panya.
It can.
Yes. Then it's sanya, which is the object at that moment, and not the kusala or akusala itself, right?
But what has been, what has fallen away already?
Mm-hmm.
One can think about it, is understanding.
The understanding of the kusala and or akusala, or the understanding of sanya?
That it is conditioned and not self, that it only arose because of conditions. So any reality can be object of understanding.
Okay. It can be either way, depending on condition at that moment.
Yes. Yeah.
A discussion last night over dinner and talking about sanya, and someone said that sanya can be weak. Is that correct?
In what sense?
Well, pina.
I didn't use the word weak. That's sort of there's visama sanya, which is translated as fictitious sanya, which is a bit confusing. I can't really explain what it is, I can only imagine, but it's in the Visuddhimagga.
I think that sama and visama. Visama is unusual or strange, and sama is ordinary or common. So like now it's sama sanya that arises, and visama is when, for example, at the moment of stealing, it's very strong lobha at that moment, and the sanya accompanying it would also be visama, unusual or very strange. Is that right?
Isn't now the strong sanya of like tira sanya of understanding reality right now as anicchang dukkhang anatta, not self. Mm-hmm.
Or very strong in either the good sense that we talked about, the tirasanya in terms of understanding reality, or in the akusala sense, for example, at the moment of stealing or something like
that. Like sanya, which arises with akusala cittas, I have to see the answer moment.
Akusala
cittas follow the seeing consciousness, right? Akusala cittas follow.
Yes.
The seeing, is it strong enough to be known?
Yeah, but I was just interested in why they would use fictitious.
What does it mean?
It's imaginary.
Because you just be able to think about it. You cannot really directly have it as object.
Is this the same visama as when
I don't know whether that word represents the same degree, because usually it's visama lopa, ordinary lopa, but we have to understand of what degree it's considered as just ordinary. Like now it's ordinary for any akusala to arise after seeing, right? Is that the meaning? Ordinary, not as strong.
In the Visuddhimagga, excuse me, it's in relation, it's compared to the blind who see an elephant. So it's like wrong, not necessarily in the sense that Sarah's making it sound like it's an attempt to do something wrong. It's just...
We're talking about like when someone used with loba, this is more common.
Yeah. Like it's wrong. It doesn't remember correctly what is seen or perceived.
Yes, it just occurs to me that like at some moment, I remember I saw something white, and then at that moment I thought it was a cow, and just the next moment I realized that it was not a cow but it was a goat. So I wonder whether it refers to that.
To me, it seems to refer to something like that.
But did they use the word visama, sanya nipana?
Yes.
But what about that's if you really believe
of the seeing
that is a goat, not a cow, at that moment?
Both are visama. Yeah. But both are vipalasa sanya, but one it conforms to the conventional nimitta.
I think they were talking about different aspects. For example, when we talk about vipalasa, it arises with all akusala cittas, no matter through what doorway, with asava, which arise after seeing or not. Sanya vipalasa from then on.
Dhamma.
Moment of akusala only.
Are you familiar with the phrase visama sanya, used with sanya rather than visama loba? Usually we talk about visama loba. Are you familiar with this expression?
I don't know about that at all. In Thai, I'm not sure whether what word
you'd like to Pali. Look it up, it says Visuddhimagga 759 and Sanyutta Nikaya 3, 140 to 142. They use this term.
Okay, but if we can understand reality, then we can understand that, right? No matter it's called visama or just that word in English for sanya, that there are akusla moments, strongly or not strong, akusla, right? For example, attachment to the object after seeing, even that object hasn't fallen away yet. Is it possible to have attachment to the object, like visible object or sound, which hasn't fallen away yet? It can be moments of attachment after seeing, after sampatichanna, after santirana, after votapana, right? Who knows that? See? But when it's with other doorways, more and more, like mind door, seeing in mind door and taking it for something, at that moment, the degree of attachment is stronger than moments after directly from, after the seeing and seeing so forth. So it depends on what it's meant by that word.
Usually we know that sanya vipalasa arises with every akusala citta, like even when I know that this is my glass and I don't get it mixed up with your glass, but even at just even looking at it, a moment of akusala, then it's sanya vipalasa. But in the text they often give the examples of when one mistakes the elephant for the cow or gets something confused, because this is just an example of when it's usually there's stronger sanya vipalasa.
To be understood.
To be understood, yes, because it's more apparent at that time. Mm-hmm. So like this is it's like a more obvious example of sanya vipalasa when there's the mixing up with the, what is it, the part of the elephant or?
People only understand part of it, not all of it. So it's not necessarily they understand wrongly what they're touching, but they don't understand, I mean, in the conventional sense, they don't have the whole picture.
So it's like a simile that is given you? For an example of when ditti arises and the sanya vipalasa that arises with the ditti. So it's a strong, more apparent example. So in that sense, they may use the word visama.
Vipalasa is stronger or visama is stronger?
Vipalasa refers to the sanya vipalasa at every single moment of akusala, but if it's sanya vipalasa with ditti, then it's stronger than just common, ordinary sanya vipalasa.